I'm Julia Medina, and you're listening to Why the Fuck Not, the podcast about losing your fears and finding the balance between motherhood and business, all while reclaiming your true identity. In life, I'm a mother to two crazy beautiful girls. In business, I'm a branding and web design expert, and some might say I'm a serial entrepreneur. So it only makes sense that this podcast is all about the adventures and struggles of being a mother and an entrepreneur. Two things that are insanely challenging on their own, but can sometimes feel downright defeating when combined. I'm here to let you know that you're not alone and give you the tips, tricks, and tools that transformed my life from underpaid and overwhelmed to financially and mentally free. I'm so excited that you're listening today. So let's get started, because why the fuck not? Welcome, welcome to the very first episode. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Julia. I'm a branding and web design expert, originally from a very small town called Delavan, Wisconsin. We recently relocated to the sunny Southwest Florida and are loving it. I have been in the industry for over 10 years now. My mission is supporting your woman-owned small business with authentic branding and web design that empowers you to create a life you love. I also co-own an adoption profile design agency with my cousin Annie, and we work to bring families together to experience a lifetime of love. So I'm super excited to be developing this new platform where I can reach more of you amazing, beautiful, wonderful women business owners and make connections with you. And hopefully my story will inspire you to take your life less seriously and take your dreams more seriously. I'm so excited that you're listening today. We are going to dive deeper into why I started this podcast, what a why the fuck not moment is, and what my why the fuck not moments have been along the way. So to get started, I'm going to give you my definition of a why the fuck not moment. A WTFN moment is the moment you let go of everyone's opinions of you and expectations for you and your preconceived notions about what your life is supposed to be and decide to bet on your dreams. It's when staying in your current situation becomes scarier than betting on your scary ass dreams. And a lot of the time, you really have to be at a point where you feel like you have nothing left to lose in order to manifest the next level of your life. So we're going to delve into my first why the fuck not moment. And we got to go deep here. We got to go all the way back to high school. And in high school, I was a over 4.0 overachiever. And I ended up getting a full ride scholarship to one of the best schools in my state, UW-Madison. And you know, everyone just had really high expectations for me, my friends, my family, and myself, right? Mostly myself, honestly. But you know, I didn't realize that I wasn't living this life for me. I was living it for everyone else. These were other people's expectations that they placed on me, and I was such a people pleaser. I would do anything to achieve those things. So I was attending college at UW-Madison, and I hated it. I hated college. I hated the city. I had no friends. I was in a relationship that my family didn't approve of at the time. And I was honestly just so freaking miserable. I found out that I was pregnant my second year in college, and I had like a series of kidney infections that landed me in the hospital for a couple days at a time each time. And my protocol for some of my college classes was that if you miss a class, they drop your grade by half a letter grade for each class that you miss. So if you miss two classes, your grade would go from an A to a B, two more, a B to a C. And part of the requirements for my scholarship were that I had to maintain a 3.0 GPA in order to keep my scholarship. So I was very, very nervous that I was not going to be able to maintain this, especially during my pregnancy. And I was going to end up losing my scholarship. And that was like my absolute worst fear at that time. And then I also ended up finding out that my due date would be during the final exam week the next semester. So I decided, screw it, I'm going to stop right now while I'm ahead. we can call it ahead, even though I fell behind. and I, you could say, dropped out. I stopped, I paused, which was meant to be temporary at the time. But then I had my daughter and I couldn't leave her and I didn't want anyone else to take care of her. I didn't trust anyone else. Do any of us really trust anyone else with their kids, or is it just me? So that's really where things started to take a turn. I was essentially a teen mom. My daughter came a month before her due date, which is a little preemie baby. But yeah, so that was a week before my 20th birthday. So here I am, 19 years old, a teen mom, a college dropout, caring for a newborn baby, sleep deprived, and feeling completely worthless because I wasn't furthering my career, I wasn't working, and none of my support system approved of the life I was living. I was at rock bottom with nothing left to lose. So I got this idea, and what do you say when you have an idea and you have nothing left to lose? You say, why the fuck not? But my idea was to start freelancing as a graphic designer because graphic design was one of the things that I had been studying in college. I still hadn't chosen a major. I don't know what the hell I was going to do. Living my life for other people. But I had been studying graphic design. I had my laptop and all my Adobe Suite programs. And I decided that's what I was going to do. I started building up my clientele. This was in 2014. And 3 years later, it does seem like kind of a long time, but give me a break because I had a baby. And then I had another baby. And I have two little babies. And in 2017, I founded what's now known as More Divine Design, my branding and web design studio. And then the next time frame for me, if I had to like separate my business into segments, would be 2017 to 2020. And in those 3 years, I failed and failed and failed and then succeeded. And then failed and failed and failed again and then succeeded. And if you're someone who is afraid of failing, stop it. Stop that shit right now because you have to fail in order to succeed. So every time you fail, I want you to look in the mirror, literally pat yourself on the back and say, yes, bitch, you're one failure closer to success. But I somehow managed to double my income each of those years in my business. So I really, really looking back now realize that I did that just through sheer hustle and putting my business before my health and my family sometimes. I was having migraines 3-4 days a week. I had chronic neck pain literally every single day of my life to the point where the only thing that would give me relief was muscle relaxers. So I just really was not in a good place, but I didn't notice it because I was so damn busy. I didn't have a second to stop and think like, what is the root cause of this stuff? I thought like, this is just my life and I just have to survive and wake up tomorrow and make it through the day again. Until this next phase of my business, which I like to call, why the fuck am I alive during a worldwide pandemic? No, I'm just kidding. But you guys know, 2020, COVID. Wow. That's so crazy. Isn't that crazy that that shit ever happened? Like, do you some days wake up and you're like, wow, like I survived. We're still living the effects of that shit. We are still living the inflation and the economy and oh God, what a mess. But anyways, I'm not here to talk about that today. But the next phase of my business was during COVID. And I thought for sure, I'm not going to survive this. This is going to be it for me. I'm going to give up. But it was magically the best year that my business ever saw. And I think it's the reason that I survived COVID. And it was what propelled me into the next phase of my business that I'm in right now. 2020 was the best year my business had up until that time. I doubled my income again, a business built on serving small business owners who are going through arguably the most difficult time their business have ever seen. But what became blatantly honest to me during that year, what I couldn't ignore anymore, was my health, my routines, and my lack of boundaries. Right? Because all we did was spend time with ourselves. We had all this time to reevaluate our priorities. We weren't going to do the things we normally did. We weren't spending time with our extended families. But with that, I also learned how damn resilient I was. I survived 6 months alone with my kids. No school, no OMA sleepovers, no sports, no adult interaction. No, I'm just kidding. I had their dad. But that's how it felt, right? You just feel like all you do is talk to little people all day. You're like, am I even an adult anymore? Are there other human adults out there? So now, being in a position where I realized that my business could survive anything, and my family didn't need any support beyond mommy and daddy. Also reevaluating the world, coming to terms with the fact that as the population continues to grow, pandemics could be more common. As climate change continues to worsen, so will catastrophic natural disasters. All these thoughts pointed to one thing, my second WTFN moment. And it was, we're moving to Florida, because why the fuck not? Obviously for me, it's the heat and the sunshine. If you know me, you know I'm a beach girl. But it was also the year-round opportunities for me and Martin, and eventually for the girls. If there was going to be another pandemic, we'd be able to be outside year-round. But also, if climate change drastically worsens over the next 30 years, I'm not waiting until paradise is gone to enjoy it. No wonder we're all so tired and depressed, living our lives believing that we have to work our asses off forever just to retire, hopefully, at 65, when we're too damn old and tired to enjoy it. I knew I couldn't do that. So we decided we were moving, and we spent the next year getting our house ready to sell, selling it, packing all our things up, and making multiple cross-country trips, which was total chaos. In the total chaos, everything lined up so incredibly perfectly. It was undeniably part of our destiny. I don't know how else to explain it. But when we got to our house in Florida and I started living my life authentically, it improved dramatically. We'll talk about how, but for now, I want to talk a little bit about what living authentically means and the changes I've implemented into my daily life. So I think people tend to have this misconception that living authentically means you have to know exactly what you're going to do with your life. But it's much less about what and much more about how. It doesn't matter what career you're in, what relationship you're in, it's how you're being, how you're interacting with other humans and the universe in whatever you're currently doing. And you'll know that it's right when it's right because it will feel good. Living authentically is doing solely what's good for you. Because whether you realize it or not, you can only be the best for the people around you when you're taking care of yourself first and living from a place of truth. This is where you serve the most people the most efficiently. So if you're not there yet, how do you get there? You start with baby steps, daily baby steps. And they're not the same for everyone, so I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what I do and give you examples of things that you can implement into your daily life. I start my day alone. And yes, I have two small children. How could that be possible, right? I know this isn't possible for everyone. If your littles wake up crazy early, that's a whole nother conversation. But we sleep trained our kids around 3, and now every night they sleep from 8 p.m. till 7 a.m. like clockwork. Best thing we ever did as parents, hands down. So anyways, I get up at 6, 6:30, and I spend at least a half an hour with my own thoughts, processing my emotions about the day ahead. Then we do the getting ready thing, the school routine, and when I get home from dropping the kids off at school, I spend at least 20 minutes in nature. You have to do this part because connecting with nature is connecting with yourself. You are a part of the universe, so you can do anything you want outside. I take my dog for a walk, but some days, if I'm not even up for that, I will literally just go outside and lay on my patio furniture and feel the sun hit my face. That's all you need. If you like to run, go run. You like to do yoga, do yoga. If you just want to sit outside and drink your coffee, do that. But I want you to come up with three things that you can do in nature that only take 20 minutes. And if you're really serious about finding your authentic self, I encourage you to download the PDF guide that I created for you, Simple Steps to Living Authentically, which you can find the link for in the description of this episode. Then follow right along while I'm prompting you. So if you have the PDF guide in front of you, take some time and write down your three activities in nature. Otherwise, just save them in your memory bank for now. The next thing that I do is start my workday, and I work in blocks. I work from 9:30 till 12:45. When I work, I always listen to music if I can, and I use sound silencing headphones if my dog is barking, which she always is, if there's construction on my street, which there always is since Hurricane Ian. They're always picking crap up off the side of the road, working on pipes, working on the electric lines, something. If I am doing like a mindless or repetitive task, I'll turn my favorite TV show on the background. I know, gasp. But if it helps the time pass and it tricks my brain into thinking that I'm enjoying the task at hand, it's beneficial. I always drink my favorite drinks while I work too, usually coffee or tea. I am obsessed. The Dragon Fruit Refreshers from Starbucks, and Walmart sells these Tazo tea refreshers. So I think I get the passion fruit one, and then I get frozen dragon fruit chunks and I make my own at home. So it's those little things that just make my workday so much more enjoyable. If you're a Starbucks fanatic, I'm not going to be the one to tell you, oh, it's such an expensive habit. Don't do it. It adds up. No, go get the damn Starbucks, okay? Your happiness and productivity will outweigh the short-term cost by far. So back to the PDF guide. I want you to come up with five ways to make your workday more enjoyable. Yes, five or more if you can. 10, 15, 20 if you can. That way, if there's some days or some environments that you can't do some of these things in, you'll have other options. So they can just be simple things. They can be listening to music. They can be wearing like your favorite soft, comfortable clothing, burning a calming candle, eating a freaking Kit Kat. Literally anything that will bring you a little dose of joy. So take a minute, write down your ideas. Next, I take a 15-minute lunch break and I always eat something healthy. Yes, I don't care if you don't like healthy food. You have to do this, okay? Because part of living authentically is having a body that is capable of happiness. And in order for your body to be capable of happiness, you have to give it what it needs. So just give it what it needs already, okay? I usually have a bagel with cheese and avocados and tomato slices on it. And that's my favorite. I have it almost every single day. It's healthy. It's easy. I'm happy. My body's happy. The end. So I want you to come up with at least three options for easy, healthy meals that you can have for lunch. And I don't care what you have for dinner. You can have shit for dinner. You can have dessert after dinner. I just want you to make this one meal of the day, something that your body can thrive on, something that will give you the little bit of energy that you need to get through your afternoon. Now it is 1 o'clock and I dedicate an hour every day to cleaning. I know we don't like to clean, but it's a lot easier to clean if you clean 1 hour every single day. And then you never have to get to a point where you're spending an entire day cleaning. So I just do the simple cleanups, throw the stuff in the dishwasher, throw the clothes in the wash, sweep up, mop up, just do whatever I got to do for the general daily stuff. And then at that time, it's time for me to go pick my kiddos up. Which is a whole process. I end up waiting in the pickup line for an hour every single day.
And it could be such a huge waste of time, right? That adds up. That's 5 hours a week. But I see all the other parents sitting there. They're just staring at their phones, staring out the window. And I use this time every single day to do my work, to pay my bills, to record my podcast episodes. Hey. And I think all too often we fail to realize that there are these like tiny pockets of time throughout our week that we effectively just waste. So if you can find those pockets and take advantage of them, you're going to be more effective and less stressed out. I want you to think about your day and come up with at least two pockets of time that you have. Whether it's commuting to work and back home, or sitting in the pickup line to pick up your kids, sitting at gymnastics or karate, find these little times, and I know there's not a lot of them, I know. That's why I'm only making you come up with two, but find them and use them effectively. Plan one task that you're going to use that time for over the next week. And then just wait and see how good you feel at the end of the week. You're going to feel like you accomplished so much. You have all this extra time you didn't know existed. I swear, it sounds stupid now. You're going to feel great later. So then my kids are back home. Night shift. We do homework. We make dinner. But the biggest thing that I want to highlight about our nighttime routine is that I don't work. I never work at night. And I never work on the weekends. And this is the exact opposite of how I used to be. I used to work all the time. I used to work before I made dinner, after I made dinner, then I'd put the kids to bed. Then I'd work again from 8 until 12 o'clock, 1 a.m. And wake up and do it all over again the next day. And that is why I had chronic migraines. That's why I had chronic neck pain. So don't do that. I was also extremely stressed out and had really low productivity. So cut it out, set the boundaries, let your boss know, let your clients know, let everybody know. I don't respond to my emails. I'm not going to answer your calls. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing, because when you start to do this, other people are going to go, hey, maybe I should do this. And they fucking should. Set very clear and concise boundaries, aka someone emails you Friday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Now, ideally, you don't even open your email, so you don't know that you have this email. Then you go into your inbox Monday morning and you respond to their email and say, "Hi, thank you for your patience." Don't say, "Sorry, I didn't respond." Say thank you instead. This works so much better. So say thank you for your patience. I don't respond to my emails on the weekends. Followed by whatever the answer is to their question, followed by thank you so much, and sign off. It can be a positive thing. It doesn't have to be this negative thing that you aren't a crazy workhorse that answers your emails at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. I promise. I know it feels counterintuitive to those of us that have hustled our asses off endlessly for the past year, 5 years, maybe 10 years. If it's been 10 years, I don't know how you've survived. But once you stop working outside of these boundaries, and start taking more time for rest and peace and activities that you love and spending time with your family, you will be so much more productive during the hours that you do set for yourself to work. Final activity in the Simple Steps to Living Authentically guide: write down 5 boundaries that you're going to set within your life. This can be with your clients, with your boss, with your partner, with your kids, with your mother-in-law. I don't care. They don't have to be like these big, crazy boundaries that are necessarily going to make a big change in your life. It's just good practice to set these boundaries, because especially as your business starts to become more successful, you're going to need to be able to set a boundary and keep that fucker. I'm going to challenge you to pick one of those boundaries to set this week, like physically go out and set the boundary with someone. Wait till the opportunity comes and you'll be reminded, oh, hey, this is a good time for me to see if I can actually enforce this boundary. and do it. See how good it feels. It feels so good. I used to be a person, like I said, I was such a people pleaser, and I would do anything to make people happy and make people like me. And boundaries were such like a foreign thing to me. But during COVID, the world, you know, put up these invisible boundaries. And it was like, once I got them, going back to the way that it was before, I couldn't do it. So I had to set the boundaries for myself afterwards. And it just really changed my life in ways that I could never have imagined. To not be bound by the obligations of people and places and time, it's really just so freeing. So now, how did these things, when added up day after day, start to affect my life? The puzzle pieces really just started falling into place. My business had its highest grossing month on record after 3 months of essentially no promotion because I was too busy packing to do anything besides just finishing the client work that I already had. I am more at peace. I have more time. I accomplish everything without ever working nights or weekends. This is crazy. I never thought that was possible. My creativity and passion is back. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here recording this podcast episode for you. I've been wanting to do this for the longest time, but I finally gave myself enough space to let the fire start burning again. And last, I spend more time with my family, and I'm happier and I have more energy when I do. So I hope you'll take the time, complete the guide, and start implementing some of these little tasks into your daily life so you can find your authentic self. I'm so fucking happy that you decided to listen today, and I'm looking forward to the next couple episodes of the podcast. We have some amazing guests lined up for this season who are also mamas, entrepreneurs, and some of my very best friends. They all have crazy stories about the struggles that they've been through, how they came out on the other end of it, and the most valuable advice you can't afford to miss. We hope you'll join us. Cheers to season one of WTFN Podcast. Sending you so much love, Julia.